story for you now, remarkable story for you now, and continuing on the remarkable story and the fallout from the actions of the woman known as Carrie Jade Williams, the serial fraudster Carrie Jade Williams, who did a lot in this county and was here for quite some time. We interviewed her indeed on this programme when she was telling her false tales of what she had done and who she was and what she was intending to do. Yesterday I caught up with Ronan Kelly of the RTE Doc on One series, his documentary maker with RTE. They've done a podcast series which went live last night, the first two episodes, and it'll be followed by a TV series in the autumn on the story of serial fraudster Carrie Jade Williams. I spoke to him about the series, the number of victims of her cons, and also I asked him to tell me when he first came into contact with her.
It started for us about 3 years ago when we got an email from this woman living in Carrigaline who said that she was dying and she was getting a last-ditch attempt to save her life from this brain disease was to have these chips put into her brain in an operation in Los Angeles, and would we be interested in making a documentary about it? So, of course, we thought, right, that's interesting. And I travelled to Carrigaline, spent about 4 hours talking to this woman, Carrie Jade, and fascinating woman. Not only was she telling me about this operation, but she also told me that she was born in a mother and baby home in Cork, in Vesper. She told me that her mother adopted her. She was the very first person to be adopted. She told me that, by a single woman in the UK. She told me that she was getting married to a local fella in Kerry, a guy named Fionn. And we walked around Carrigaline and we said hello to people and met people and great stuff. And then I went back to the team because I work in the documentary on One in RTE in Dublin, and everything we do we discuss. And it's not like yourselves in that what you do is live. We have plenty of time to discuss things. And the team said that is great. And then there was another lockdown and I was having trouble keeping in touch with her, but I went to Carrigaline again and I talked her out the back of her flat and talked to her at a distance for about an hour. And she started talking to me about local politicians and started giving me all these tidbits about local Kerry politicians. I'm thinking, God, this is fantastic. This woman has amazing stories to tell. And bit by bit, she didn't keep in touch with me, and I gave her a recorder to record some of her operation and to sort of keep us going with her journey, as they say. And I was having trouble keeping in touch with her, and then she told me she'd moved to Kenmare, and I was on holidays in the area, and I drove to Kenmare to see her, and she kept missing the appointments, and there was just odd things going on. Now, in my head, I thought, this is a woman who's got a brain disease, and I shouldn't be pestering her, and of course she's missing appointments, and, you know, Huntington's, which is what she has, is also associated with depression, so probably there's lots of things going on in her head, and I gave her the benefit of the doubt, which it turns out is what everybody else did when they dealt with her. And then what happened to us is exactly what happened to you on Radio Kerry, which is we found out that she wasn't real. So we did exactly what you did. We talked to her and believed her and then found out that she wasn't real. And the way we found out she wasn't real is I got a text from one of my colleagues one night, and we had just done a podcast series about a fraudster named Samantha, and he had a Google alert for Samantha on his phone, and this photograph came up on Google, and he sent it to me and he said, is this your Kerry? And sure enough it was, and it turned out that Carrie was a woman named Samantha, and the photograph was from a court case in the UK in 2011 where she had been convicted of defrauding a couple, pretending that she was going to be a surrogate for their baby.
Yeah.
And that's how we found out. And so, having given up on the story, it suddenly became a totally different story.
What was that moment like, the shock of that moment?
It was a very important moment for me because it allowed me realise what it was like for everybody else then that I talked to afterwards, because I had been made a fool of and I felt hurt and betrayed and I felt like an idiot. But at the same time, it's only a job, whereas other people had exactly the same thing done to them, but they had disabled kids, or they had her living in her house, or they had given her money for a fake trip to Lapland, or they had befriended her because they were lonely and they needed friendships or whatever. So it meant that when I was going to go and make the program, if somebody said to me, I believed her and I trusted her, I didn't dismiss it.
No.
Because I said, I know exactly what you're saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, because that's what I experienced.
Exactly. But now we're tiny, tiny victims. We're not even victims compared to what's happened to other people. But yeah, it does give you an awareness. And as I keep saying to people, you can't go into court and say my sense of trust has been broken. And some of the people went to the guard, and the guard said to them, look, we can't prosecute her. Now, as it happened, they did prosecute her, because you can't say to the guard, oh, I felt like a fool, will you ever take a case against her? But actually, it's more damaging than somebody hitting you over the head sometimes.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, they lost their sense of trust. Like, I interviewed a boyfriend of hers in the UK, and he went out with her when he was a teenager, and he said, you know, after all the lies and everything like that, he's now a cynic. And he says he hates it about himself. He hates the fact that when he talks to somebody, he doesn't necessarily believe everything they say, and he puts it all down to her.
Yeah. Ronan, look, con men, con women, fraudsters, people who aren't who they say they are, for all sorts of reasons, have been around since, I'd say, civilization started.
Yeah.
But in 2021, 2022, in the modern age, like that Google story of Samantha and the picture pinging, and all of a sudden, to be at it now, and to be doing it this long, and to catch this many people, you kind of have to be incredibly talented, don't you, as a communicator?
Creative. Yeah, she's incredibly creative, and the other thing is she's incredibly perceptive. So she, first of all, realizes that you have a need. So if you've got a disabled child, or as happened with a man in Cork, he had a child and he needed an SNA, and she pretended that she was a psychologist and would get him an SNA assessment for the Department of Education. She picks out things and she works on them. So I'll give you another example. I told her I live in a certain part of Dublin, near the seaside, and when I was talking to her in Carrasavine, I was with her for about 4 or 5 hours, and I said, oh, I live in this bit of Dublin, you know, just make a conversation, chatting away, whatever. Later on in the conversation, she started telling me about the first time she realized she had this disease, and she dropped a piece of equipment, because she was water testing, on a beach in Dublin, right near where I live. And I said, oh God, I live near there, completely forgetting that I had told her that about 2 or 3 hours previously.
Yeah.
So she had taken that tiny little piece of information and stored it. But then the other thing that's really interesting as well is that everybody says, how did you not find out who she was or whatever? And one of the things was, probably in your case and certainly in my case, she won an award with the Financial Times for her writing as Carrie Jade Williams. So when we got her pitch in, we Googled her and we saw this woman had won an award. Now, since then, that award has been stripped away from her. But that's the kind, you know, once you see something prestigious like the Financial Times, and she tried to get on with Liveline, and
yeah,
she tried to get on all these other, and once you kind of build up that level of introduction, like some of the people that she dealt with weren't victims themselves, but they knew lots of other people. Like, there's a fantastic woman in this podcast from Wicklow, and she's a hairdresser, but she also is a hairdresser and works in old people's homes. So she knows loads and loads and loads of people. So this woman, Samantha, made friends with her, not because she wanted to use Lorraine because of what Lorraine needed, because Lorraine had contacts. And Lorraine introduced her to all these women with disabled kids. And, you know, so she was good at that kind of level of introduction. But then the other thing that's interesting about the internet is there was a family in Westport who had her as an au pair up in Mayo.
Yeah.
And they were, we have our doubts. We don't, she's telling all these stories. We don't believe her. They went to the guard, and the guard said, check social media. She was that, at that point, she was using the name Lucy Fitzpatrick. They said, check social media. Female guard said, if she doesn't appear as Lucy Fitzpatrick on social media, then you need to be worried. I thought, that's fascinating, isn't it, nowadays?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
everybody has something somewhere, a little trail somewhere that you can locate them and prove whether they exist or don't exist.
Yeah, yeah. Ronan, unpicking all of the layers of all of the different personalities that she has been and probably continues to be, that's all part of the series, I'd imagine.
It is, yeah. But mainly the focus is on the victims and what has happened to victims and how she has managed to play the victims. There's a sister production, a TV production going out in the autumn, and that will be following her more closely, and also following what the state could be doing in situations like that. Like, one of the interesting things is, if you want to be a bouncer on a pub in Tralee, you have to have a badge on your sleeve saying that you've got a license from the PSA. However, if you want to walk into the family in that pub and be an au pair, you don't have to be registered.
Yeah.
Nobody has to check you. If you want to rock up to some of these people and say, I'm a play therapist, you don't have to be registered. Tusla doesn't have to. You know, so there's a couple of those different elements that will come out in the TV series. Ours is mainly telling the story of her creativity and the people that needed her and how she played that and how she operated like that.
Yeah. Are we all going to end up as cynical as the boyfriend after we listen? Or how do we avoid that?
I'll tell you a story. I am deliberately gullible because I think that's the best way to be. You're never going to be wrong if you're cynical, but I think you have to be chatting to people whoever you chat to. But I had spent 3 days in the UK making recordings about her, and I was coming home in the airplane, and there was a woman across the aisle from me who was crying, and she was crying because her brother had just been killed in Ireland, and she was coming back from the UK. He had died that day. She got a call, she dropped everything, hopped on the airplane, came over. The hostesses were sympathising with her. I started talking to her, and when I heard why she was coming home, I sympathised with her, but a little bit of me just said, yeah, really? Did your brother die?
I wonder.
And I found out afterwards it was absolutely true. I went on RIP, found it, and it was true, but a little bit of me was cauterised.
Scalded,
by,
yeah.
Yeah, having dealt with her. But, yeah, that's it, Samantha.
My God. Well, listen, look, Ronan, it's going to be a great listen. The real Carrie Jade. The first two episodes up already?
They're up this morning, yes.
Yeah, so they're up already.
And then every Friday until early July.
Okay, and then the sister television production in the autumn.
Sister television production will be in the autumn, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, well done, Ronan. And listen, I understand you're up for an award as well for a Valley David documentary.
Ah, this is a brilliant story. I'm in Cardiff at the Celtic Media Awards, and this is a true Celtic story because it's a story from 1977 in Ballydavid, when a ship smashed into the local pier, and the locals were dealing with the fellas on the ship, and the fellas on the ship were mad, and they were drinking too much, and they were from Nigeria and Chile and England, and then three fellas came over from here in Wales to help salvage the ship. And there was an Egyptian man killed another man on the ship, and they all ended up in the water in the bay there, and they were then rescued by an Englishman. That's a very, very short way of telling you a 40-minute documentary. That is gripping. It's really good. And as I say, I'm hoping we might win an award for it.
That'd be brilliant. That'd be great. Well, listen, good luck with it, and congratulations on that. Well, it'll be a great listen, and thanks for talking to me this morning.
Well done. Thanks, Jerry. See ya.
That's Ronan Kelly, a documentary maker with RTE, about that remarkable story in relation to the Carrie Jade Williams story, which is still unfolding, by the way. And they want as well, if anyone is listening, they're looking for new information. They're finding out new information about Carrie Jade Williams and her various aliases and the various stories that she's told to people and the things that she's done. You can email documentaries@rte.ie.